بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم والحمد لله رب العالمين والعاقبة للمتقين أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله صلى الله عليه وعلى آله وأصحابه أجمعين ومن تبعهم بإحسان إلى يوم الدين أما بعد. In the previous lesson we went through the tafsir, the explanation of the greatest surah in the Quran, Surah Al-Fatiha. And as usual, we began by reading Surah Al-Fatiha and then going through the words and the ayat and the benefits which are contained in this surah. One of the benefits that we mentioned last week about Surah Al-Fatiha is that the whole surah is one of the greatest evidences for At-Tawheed, because Surah Al-Fatiha, it contains all of At-Tawheed, i.e. the three categories of At-Tawheed. In this lesson, bi-idhnillahi ta'ala, we will begin with the tafsir of Surah Al-Baqarah, i.e. the second surah, the second chapter of the Mus'haf. And we will try to, bi-idhnillah, finish or go through the tafsir of the first five ayat, i.e. the first page in the Mus'haf. We'll try to go through the first five ayat. Should we read one ayah each, inshallah? Read one ayah each. And then ذلك الكتاب.
أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم ألف لام ميم ذلك الكتاب لا ريب فيه هدى للمتقين الذين يؤمنون بالغيب ويقيمون الصلاة ومما رزقناهم ينفقون.
والذين
يؤمنون بما أنزل إليك وما أنزل.
Make it long. وما أنزل. Can you see the mud on the meme and the alif?
Yeah. وما أنزل من قبلك.
من قبلك.
من قبلك. وبالآخرة هم يؤمنون.
Notice on the wow, there's no hamza. Yeah? So this is yuqinun.
Yuqinun.
But you know, on some of the words like yuqminun, there's a hamza on the wow. That's a hamza. Here there's no hamza. So here's yuqinun. Recite again, Taqir. One more time. Same ayah, one more time. See, on the wow now there's a hamza there. Yu'minuna.
Yu'minuna bima unzila ilayka wa ma unzila min qablika.
Min qablika.
Wa bil ahirati.
Akhirati.
Wa bil ahirati.
Good.
Hum yuqinun.
Good, mashallah. No, okay.
أولئك على هدى من ربهم وأولئك هم المفلحون.
بدحاء مفلحون.
مفلحون.
From the beginning again, خالد.
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. ألف لام ميم. ذلك الكتاب لا ريب فيه. هدى للمتقين. الذين يؤمنون بالغيب ويقيمون الصلاة مما رزقناهم ينفقون. والذين يؤمنون بما أنزل إليك وما أنزل من قبلك وبالآخرة هم يوقنون. أولئك على هدى من ربهم وأولئك هم المفلحون.
بدحاء مفلحون.
مفلحون.
So this surah, Surah Al-Baqarah, it is Madaniyah, meaning that this surah was revealed after the hijrah of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam to Al-Madinah. And notice that when a surah is called Makkiya or when it's called Madaniya, it doesn't necessarily mean it was revealed in Mecca or it was revealed in Medina. What it means is it was revealed in the Meccan period of the seerah, i.e. before Hijrah, or it was revealed in the Medinan period of the Prophet, i.e. after Hijrah. Even though it might have been revealed back in Mecca, in Fath Mecca, for example. So this is the difference. If a surah is Makkiya, i.e. before the Hijrah, if a surah is Madaniya, i.e. after the Hijrah. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He begins His speech by saying, Alif, Lam, Mim. These three letters, Alif, Lam, Mim, and the other letters which Allah begins some of the surahs with, like Yasin, and Qaf, and Alif, Lam, Ra, these letters are called Al-Huruf Al-Muqatta'ah. Al-Huruf Al-Muqatta'ah. And the meaning of Al-Huruf Al-Muqatta'ah, i.e. individual letters. So Alif, Lam, Mim isn't a word. And Alif, Lam, Ra isn't a word. But these are individual letters that are bought individually. And for this reason, we pronounce it Alif, Lam, Mim. We don't say Alam, for example. Rather, we pronounce them as individual letters. The ulama, the mufassirun, they differed with regards to the meanings of Alif, Lam, Mim, and Alif, Lam, Ra, and the Huruf Al-Muqatta'a. And Sheikh Abdul Rahman ibn Nasir al-Sa'idi, rahimullah, he says, وَأَمَّا الْحُرُوفَ الْمُقَطَّعَ فِي أَوَائِلْ السُّورَةِ. That as for these individual letters which come at the beginning of the chapters, فَالْأَسْلَمُ فِيهَا السُّكُوتِ. Then the safest option is that we remain silent. Because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala didn't mention a meaning for them, or He didn't make the meaning known to us, then it's better for us that we remain silent regarding them. And التَعَرُّضِ لِمَعْنَاهَا مِنْ غَيْرِ مُسْتَنَدٍ شَرْعِي. Without us having a clear shari'i evidence to the meaning of Alif, Lam, Mim, it is better for us to remain silent. مَعَ الْجَزْمِ بِأَنَّ اللَّهَ تَعَالَى لَمْ يُنَزِّلْهَا عَبَثًا. At the same time, we know for sure that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala did not reveal these حروف مقطعه without any reason, or just for jest and play. بَلْ لِحِكْمَةٍ لَا نَعْلَمُهَا. Rather, it is due to a wisdom, but perhaps we don't know the wisdom. Some of the ulama, they mentioned that although we don't know the meanings of Alif, Lam, Mim, but one of the potential or one of the possible wisdoms behind this is that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is challenging the Arabs and challenging the Quraysh. He's saying to them, it's as if Allah is saying to them, Alif, Lam, Mim. These are letters which you Arabs, you use in your own language. You know these letters as well. So bring us something similar to that which is going to come afterwards. ذَلِكَ الْكِتَابَ لَا رَيْبَ فِيهِ. So these حُرُوف مُقَطَّعَة are like a challenge to the Quraysh or to the Arabs of that time, that these letters like Alif, Lam, Mim, Alif, Lam, Ra, Ya and Sin, and Qaf and Saad, these are Arabic letters which you are using in your daily language. You know these letters, they are part of your Arabic alphabet. And yet despite this, despite having these letters with you, you cannot bring anything similar to the Quran. So this is one of the possible benefits from Al-Huruf Al-Muqatta'a. And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, ذَلِكَ الْكِتَابِ لَا رَيْبَ فِيهِ. The meaning of ذَلِكَ is that is the book. ذَلِكَ الْكِتَابِ, that is the book. But in this ayah, ذَلِكَ means this. So here, ذَلِكَ الْكِتَابِ, it means هَذَا الْكِتَابِ. That is the book, meaning this is the book. ذَلِكَ الْكِتَابِ أي هَذَا الْكِتَابَ الْعَظِيمِ, i.e. this great book. الَّذِي هُوَ الْكِتَابُ عَلَى الْحَقِيقَةِ, which is a book in reality. الْمُشْتَمِلُ عَلَى مَا لَمْ تَشْمِلْ عَلَيْهِ كُتُبُ الْمُتَقَدِّمِينَ وَالْمُتَأَخِّرِينَ. It is a book which contains so much knowledge and so much wisdom that the early books and the later books will never contain. مِنَ الْعِلْمِ الْعَظِيمِ وَالْحَقِّ الْمُبِينِ. It contains great knowledge and clear truth. La rayba fi, the meaning of rayb is doubt. So the meaning of rayb is shak. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, La rayba fi, that there is no doubt in this book. There is no doubt that it is from Allah. And there is no doubt regarding the truthfulness of this book. فَلَا رَيْبَ فِيهِ وَلَا شَكَّ بِوَجْهٍ مِنِ الْوُجُوهِ That there is no doubt, no shak, from any angle, there is no shak and no doubt in this book. And there is a principle which the author he mentions, Shaykh Sa'di, that in the Qur'an, when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala negates something, then the meaning is that Allah is affirming the opposite. Whenever Allah negates something in the Qur'an, then Allah is affirming the opposite. So for example, in Ayatul Kursi, when Allah says that slumber, sana and noom, sleep do not overcome him. Now in this ayah, Allah is negating from himself that slumber, i.e. tiredness and sleep can ever overcome him. The actual point behind Allah negating this is that Allah is affirming for himself that he is ever living and he is Al-Qadir who has complete ability. So in the Quran, we don't have an ayah which is only a negation. Why? Because when you negate something, it's nothing. But when you affirm the opposite, then you are affirming perfection. So when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala negated La Rayba Fi, this book has no doubt in it. What he was affirming is that this book is al-yaqeen. This book is certainty. So he said, وَالنَّفْيُ الرَّيْبُ عَنْهُ يَسْتَلْزِمْ ضِدُّهُ That when Allah negates any doubt from this book, then in actuality he is affirming the opposite. And the opposite of doubt is al-yaqeen. وَضِدُّ الرَّيْبِ وَالشَّكِ الْيَقِينِ So the opposite of rayb, the opposite of doubt, is al-yaqeen, certainty. فَهَذَا الْكِتَابِ مُشْتَمِلٌ عَلَىٰ عِلْمِ الْيَقِينِ So this book, it contains knowledge of certainty. الْمُزِيلُ لِلشَّكِ وَالرَّيْبِ And this certainty, this yaqeen, it wipes away the doubt, the shak or the rayb which it has. So when Allah said, ذَلِكَ الْكِتَابِ لَا رَيْبَ فِي That is the book, there is no doubt in it. The tafsir is, this is the book, i.e. the Qur'an, which is a book of yaqeen, and therefore there is no doubt. So as a general principle, he says, وَهَذِهِ قَاعِدَةٌ مُفِيدَةٌ This is a good beneficial principle. أَنَّ النَّفِي الْمَقْصُودِ بِهِ الْمَدْحِ لابد أن يكون متضمنا لضده وهو الكمال That any negation which comes in the Quran where Allah frees something from himself then the opposite of it is affirmed for Allah. So if Allah frees from himself tiredness and sleep and slumber the actual objective is to affirm perfection for himself. When Allah frees raib and shak and doubt from this book, the actual objective is to affirm perfection and yaqeen and certainty for this book. Why? لِأَنَّ النَّفِي adam. Because when you negate something, it's nothing. But when you affirm something, then you are affirming perfection. So whenever we find in the Qur'an a negation, a nafi, then the actual objective is that we affirm the opposite for Allah. We negate, when we say for example, Subhanallah. The meaning of Subhanallah is Tanzihullah an kulli naqsin wa'ib. The meaning of Subhanallah is that you are freeing Allah from every naqs, from every deficiency and every aib and every weakness. This is the meaning of Subhanallah. You are freeing Allah from every deficiency and every weakness. But the actual objective of Subhanallah isn't just a negation that we free Allah, but we affirm the opposite. We say, and therefore, glory is for Allah. And therefore, perfection is for Allah. And therefore, complete power is for Allah. So we free Allah from naqs and aib, and we say that Allah is Akbar and He is Al-Ali and so on and so forth. So this is the general principle. And nafi al-maqsood bihi al-madh yastalzim ithbat ziddihi. That any negation which is mentioned, it's the actual objective is to affirm the opposite of it, i.e. perfection for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And then Allah says, Hudallil muttaqeen. That this book, the Quran, La Rayba Fi, which has no doubt in it, meaning it only brings ilmul yaqeen, certain knowledge, because that's the opposite of rayb. It is huda, it is guidance, lil muttaqeen, for the people of at-taqwa. And this guidance, a person, through this guidance, can stay away from al-dalala wa shubah. A person can stay away from misguidance, and a person can stay away from doubts. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He said, Huda lil muttaqeen. It is guidance for the people of at-taqwa. Usually when guidance is mentioned, when you guide somebody, you guide them to something. So for example, you say, I will guide you to the masjid. I will guide you to my house. But here in this ayah, Allah did not mention what the guidance is to. He just said guidance for the people of taqwa. He didn't say guidance to this or guidance to that like we would normally do in our normal language. Rather, He said it is guidance. So why did Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala not mention what that guidance is to? In order to keep it general. That this guidance, it isn't to anything in particular. Rather, it is guidance to the dunya and the akhirah. This al-kitab, thali kitab, la rayba fi, which has no doubt in it. It is guidance to maslahatul darain, to your benefit in this dunya and also the hereafter. And for this reason, Allah did not say, hudan ila al-akhirah, guidance to the akhirah. Neither did He say, huda ila dunya, guidance to this dunya. Rather, He left it general for us to understand that this book, it doesn't only guide us to the akhirah, it also guides us in the dunya. And for this reason, the author says, فَلَمْ يَقُلْ هُدَى لِلْمَصْلَحَ الْفُلَانِيَّةِ. Allah did not say it is guidance for a particular maslaha. وَلَا لِشَيْءٍ فُلَانِي. And neither is it a guidance to a particular thing. لِإِرَادَةِ الْعُمُومِ, because Allah wanted to keep it general. وَأَنَّهُ هُدَى لِجَمِيعِ مَصَالِحِ الدَّارَيْنِ. Rather, that this Qur'an is a guidance for our interests and our benefits of both of the abodes. The abode of this dunya and the abode of the akhirah. فَهُوَ مُرْشِدٌ لِلْعِبَادِ فِي الْمَسَائِلُ الْأُصُولِيَّةِ وَالْفُرُوعِيَّةِ. So this kitab, it is a guidance for the people for all of the issues, whether they are the major issues or the minor detail issues. وَمُبِينٌ لِلْحَقِّ مِنَ الْبَاطِلِ. And this book, it clarifies the truth from falsehood. وَالصَّحِيحُ مِنَ الضَّعِيفِ. And this book, it clarifies that which is authentic and that which is weak. وَمُبَيِّنٌ لَهُمْ كَيْفَ يَسْلُكُونَ الطُّرُقَ النَّافِعَ لَهُمْ فِي دُنْيَاهُمْ وَأُخْرَاهُمْ. And this book, it clarifies for the people the beneficial paths of this dunya and also of the hereafter. And for this reason, Allah said, Huda, it is guidance. And He didn't say it is guidance to a particular thing. He didn't specify anything. And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He says, Huda lil muttaqeen. That it is guidance to your benefits in the dunya and the akhirah for the people of at-taqwa. In another ayah, Allah said, Huda lin nas. It is a guidance for all of mankind. And in this ayah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He specified that it is huda for the people of at-taqwa. And what is the meaning of at-taqwa? Because we always hear this term, at-taqwa and muttaqoon, the people of at-taqwa. But what does at-taqwa mean? The author, rahimullah, he said, أَمَّا الْمُتَّقُونَ, as for the people of at-taqwa, then who are they? الَّذِينَ أَتَوْا بِالسَّبَبِ الْأَكْبَرِ لِحُصُولِ الْهِدَايَةِ. They are those people who fulfill the greatest avenue for guidance, and it is التَّقْوَى. What is it? التَّقْوَى is اتِّخَاذُ مَا يَقِي سَخَطَ اللَّهِ مَا يَقِيُ سَخَطَ اللَّهِ وَعَذَابُهُ. التَّقْوَى is a person taking the necessary measures to protect yourself from the anger of Allah and the punishment of Allah. So the meaning of at-taqwa is a person taking the necessary measures to protect yourself from the anger of Allah and from His punishment. And what are these measures? The measures are imtithalu awamirihi wajtinabu nawahi, is fulfilling the commandments of Allah and staying away from the prohibitions of Allah. So if a person asks, what is the meaning of at-taqwa? Then at-taqwa is for you to place a barrier between yourself and between the punishment of Allah by fulfilling the commandments and staying away from haram. This is the meaning of at-taqwa. And when they do this, when people have at-taqwa, then the Qur'an is a guidance for them. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in another ayah, يَا أَيُّهَا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا إِن تَتَّقُوا اللَّهِ يَجْعَلْ لَكُمْ فُرْقَانًا. That, O people of Iman, if you have taqwa of Allah, then He will make for you a criterion by which you can judge the truth from the falsehood. So it all goes back to at-taqwa. And at-taqwa is two types. There are two types of at-taqwa. There are two types of hidayah. There are two types of guidance. There are two types of hidayah. Hidayatul bayan and hidayatul tawfiq. Hidayatul bayan and hidayatul tawfiq. Hidayatul bayan is the guidance of a person showing the other person the truth. A person guiding the person to the truth. This is called Hidayatul Bayan. And as for Hidayatul Tawfiq, then this is the guidance for the person accepting the truth in his heart. Because sometimes you might guide a person to the truth, but he doesn't accept the truth. So you have given him Hidayatul Bayan, you have given him the Quran, you have given him the Hadith, but for whatever reason, his heart does not accept the guidance. So that is Hidayatul Bayan. As for Hidayatul Tawfiq, then this is the divine guidance from Allah for that person to accept the bayan. For this reason, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, regarding His Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in the Quran, He mentions two different ayat when it comes to huda, when it comes to guidance. In one of the ayat, Allah said, إِنَّكَ لَا تَهْدِي مَنْ أَحْبَبْتَ. That you, O Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, you do not guide whoever you love. وَلَكِنَّ اللَّهِ يَهْدِي مَنْ يَشَاءُ. But Allah guides whoever He wants. For example, Abu Talib, who was the most beloved uncle to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and he aided Islam and supported the Prophet, and yet despite this, he died upon disbelief. And Allah said, إِنَّكَ لَا تَهْدِي مَنْ أَحْبَبْتُ وَلَكِنَّ اللَّهِ يَهْدِي مَنْ يَشَاءُ. That you do not guide whoever you love, but Allah guides whoever He wants. So in this ayah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He negates hidayah from the Prophet. He said, you don't guide whoever you want. But in another ayah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He affirms guidance for the Prophet. He said, إِنَّكَ لَتَهْدِي إِلَىٰ صِرَاطٍ مُسْتَقِيمٍ. That you, O Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, verily you do guide to the straight path. So in one ayah, Allah is negating guidance from the Prophet, that the Prophet cannot guide whoever he loves. The guidance is from Allah. But in the other ayah, Allah affirms and says, verily you do guide to the straight path. So what is the difference? That the first ayah, when Allah negated hidayah from the Prophet, this was hidayah to tawfiq. So the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam does not possess in his hands to change the hearts of the people. But what the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam did possess was al-bayan. Innama alayka al-balagh. That the only thing which is upon you is to convey the message. So when Allah affirmed hidayah for the Prophet, that is hidayatul bayan. إِنَّكَ لَتَهْدِي إِلَىٰ صِرَاطٍ مُسْتَقِيمٍ. That you guide people to the straight path. As for people accepting the straight path, this is with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And for this reason Allah said, إِنَّكَ لَا تَهْدِي مَنْ أَحْبَبٍ. That you do not guide whoever you love. So even for example, a kafir might come and he might say, look, here's a contradiction in the Qur'an. In one ayah, Allah affirms guidance for the Prophet. In another ayah, Allah negates the guidance for the Prophet. The answer is that you say that hidayah, according to Islam, is two types. There's hidayatul bayan wal irshad. And this is not only for the Prophet, but every single Muslim. Every single one of us, we have been made responsible to guide others with hidayatul bayan wal irshad. We give bayan to the people and we give irshad to the people. And the second hidayah is hidayat al-tawfiq. What tawfiq min Allah. And tawfiq is only from Allah. And this hidayah is the hidayah of the hearts. And for this reason, how many people did the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam give guidance to, and yet they did not accept al-Islam? So we find that some of those who were the closest to the Prophet, like Abu Lahab, Abu Jahl, Abu Talib, they did not accept Islam and they died upon disbelief. And they were the uncles and the family of the Prophet. And we, at the same time, we find other people who had no relation to the Prophet. In fact, they weren't even Arabs. Salman al-Farisi wasn't an Arab. Suhaib al-Rumi wasn't an Arab. And Najashi, the Abyssinian king, wasn't an Arab. And yet despite this, they accepted al-Islam. In fact, in a narration, when Abu Talib was on his deathbed, and the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam went to him, and he said to his uncle, Ya am qul la ilaha illallah. He said, oh my beloved uncle, say la ilaha illallah. Just say the sentence la ilaha illallah. Kalimatan uhaju laka biha indallah. And if you say this word, then I will take your case forward with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And around Abu Talib was some of his other friends like Abu Jahl and Abdullah ibn Umayyah. And they would say to Abu Talib, Atarghabu an millati Abdul Muttalib? That now after all of this time and you're on your deathbed, you're now going to turn away from the way of your forefather Abdul Muttalib. Now you're going to turn away. So then the Prophet would come and repeat to him, Ya amqul la ilaha illallah. Oh my beloved uncle, say la ilaha illallah. And they would say to him, Ya Abu Talib, oh Abu Talib, Atarghabu an millati Abdul Muttalib? Are you now going to leave the path of your forefather Abdul Muttalib? فَكَانَ آخِرُ كَلَامِهِ. And therefore the last statement of Abu Talib was, هُوَ عَلَى مِلَّةِ عَبْدُ الْمُطَّلِبِ. That he remained upon the way of Abdul Muttalib, i.e. upon the way of shirk and kufr. The wisdom of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is that this Abdullah ibn Abi Umayyah, he then accepted Islam later on. So this is the wisdom of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That the beloved uncle does not accept Islam because hidayah is with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But the person who was keeping away from that, Abdullah ibn Abi Umayyah, he then accepts Islam at a later stage towards Fath Makkah, the conquest of Makkah. He ended up accepting Islam. All of this shows us that the only thing which the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam possessed was al-bayan wal-irshad wal-balagh. That he conveyed the message to the people. As for hidayat al-tawfiq, then it is only for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And therefore, for anybody to seek guidance through the Prophet intending at-tawfiq, this is shirk. This is shirk akbar. Because it is only the right of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And then the author says that after Allah mentioned lil-muttaqeen, the people of at-taqwa, he then explained who the people of taqwa are. So when Allah said, Alif la meem, ذَلِكِ الْكِتَابِ لَا رَيْبَ فِي هُدَّ لِلْمُتَّقِينَ. Alif la meem, that is the book, i.e. this is the book, the Qur'an. لَا رَيْبَ فِي, it does not have any doubt in it, rather it only contains yaqeen. هُدَى, it is guidance, but it isn't guidance for this dunya only, neither is it guidance only for the akhirah, rather it is general guidance for the dunya and the akhirah, for who? For the people of at-taqwa. Then he explained to us who are the people of taqwa. He said, Alladhina, those who. And whenever you find this term, Alladhina, then Allah is explaining the word before it, or concept before it. And again, we could say that this is tafsir of the Qur'an with the Qur'an. So if somebody came to you and said to you, mention to me some of the qualities of the people of At-Taqwa. You say, the people of Taqwa, they are Al-Ladina yu'minuna bil-ghayb, and the rest of the ayat. So who are the people of At-Taqwa? The author, he says, ثُمَّ وَصَفَ الْمُتَّقِينَ بِالْعَقَاعِدِ وَالْأَعْمَالَ الْبَاطِنَ وَالْأَعْمَالَ الظَّاهِرَةِ. That then Allah explained who the people of Taqwa are in terms of their aqeedah, and in terms of their hidden actions, and in terms of their apparent actions. So these next two ayat which are going to come are going to explain to us who are the people of Taqwa. So if you want to be one of those people of Taqwa, so you can seek guidance from the Qur'an, then you know which types of beliefs and what types of actions you have to do. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says that the people of Taqwa, they are alladhina, those who yu'minuna bil ghayb. Number one, they have iman in the ghayb. In the ghayb, i.e. the unseen. Number two, yuqimuna salah, they establish the prayer. Number three, wa mimma razaqnahum yunfiqun, and from that which we have provided for them, they spend. He mentions, وَالَّذِينَ يُؤْمِنُونَ بِمَا أُنزِلَ إِلَيْكَ. And the people of taqwa, those people who have iman in that which was revealed to you, O Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. وَمَا أُنزِلَ مِنْ قَبْلِكَ. And the people of taqwa, those people who have iman in that which was revealed previously. And they are also those who وَبِالْآخِرَةِ هُمْ يُوقِنُونَ. They have absolute yaqeen in the hereafter. Who are they? أُولَٰئِكَ عَلَىٰ هُدًى مِّن رَبِّهِمْ. The people of taqwa who have these beliefs and do these righteous actions, they are those who have been guided from their Lord. وَأُولَٰئِكَ هُمُ الْمُفْلِحُونَ. And they are the people of falah, they are the people of success. The first thing which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions when He describes the people of taqwa, He says, أَلَّذِينَ يُؤْمِنُونَ بِالْغَيْبِ. They are those people who have iman in the ghayb. And what is iman? The meaning of iman here is at-tasdiq at-tam bima ukhbirat bihi ar-rusul, that they have complete belief and certain belief and absolute affirmation in everything that the prophets and the messengers were revealed to. But it is more than this. This belief mutadhamminun linqiyadi al-jawarih, that this belief, it also means that their limbs comply to the commandments of Allah. So iman, it isn't only at-tasdiq. Iman isn't just belief in the heart. And for this reason, in reality, translating iman as faith is wrong, or translating iman as belief, it is wrong. Ahl sunnati wal jama'ah, they mention that iman is i'tiqadul qalb, iman is a belief in the heart, wa qawl al-lisan, and it is a statement upon the tongue, wal amalu bil jawarih, and iman is an action upon the limbs. Yuzidu bit ta'a, it increases according to your obedience of Allah, wa yanqusu bil ma'siyah, and it decreases according to your disobedience of Allah. So we do not believe that iman is only what's in the heart. Neither do we believe that actions have nothing to do with iman. And neither do we believe that iman is something, if it enters into your heart, it remains at one stage. Rather, iman goes up and iman goes down. And this is something that all of us know. We know, for example, when we are coming to the masajid, when we are praying, when we're reciting Quran, when we're fasting, when we're sitting in gatherings, our iman feels high. And when you're away from these things, when a person distances himself from the righteous actions and the righteous people, you physically feel your iman, it is low. So iman increases and it decreases. And it is a belief and it is a statement and it is actions upon the limbs. And the author says, وَلَيْسَ الشَّأْنُ فِي الْإِيمَانِ بِالْأَشْيَاءَ الْمُشَاهَدَةَ بِالْحِسِّ. That iman, this iman, it isn't affirming that which you can physically sense. Because something which you can touch doesn't require iman. Rather, iman is only about the ghayb, only about the unseen. And for this reason, in the hereafter, whoever decides then and says, I have iman now, now I have seen Jannah, now I have seen Jahannam, now I will have iman, there's no more iman. Because iman can only be in something which is unseen. If Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala revealed Jannah to us, and now everybody became a Muslim, would it be of benefit? No benefit. Why? Because it's no longer iman. It's something which you can touch. For example, will I ever say to any of you, does it make sense if I say to you that I want all of you to have iman regarding my mobile phone? There's no iman because you can see this. Iman can only be in something which is ghaib, something which is unseen. And who is the most unseen? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And for this reason we say, Al-Imanu Billah. We have iman in Allah. We don't see Allah, but we see the effects of Allah around us. We have iman bil malaika, even though we don't see the malaika. We have al-imanu bil kutub, i.e. iman in the things which the Quran contains. Al-imanu bil yawmil akhir, we have iman in everything regarding the hereafter, even though we can't see it, but we have al-iman. And for this reason Allah says, Alladhina yu'minuna bil ghayb. They are those people, the people of taqwa, who have iman in the al-ghayb. فَإِنَّهُ لَا يَتَمَيَّزُ بِهَا الْمُسْلِمُ مِنَ الْكَافِرِ. Because the only way to differentiate between a Muslim and a kafir is using the iman of the ghaib. Because as I mentioned, the Muslim and the kafir, if you said to both of them have iman in this form, they have iman in it because they can see it. But the difference in the Muslim is that he has iman in that which he cannot see. And he has iman in those things which even his logic may not understand. And this is the difference between the Muslim or the mu'min and the kafir. And some of the people of deviation from among the Muslim ummah, they will only have iman in something if it agrees with their logic. So when it comes to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and especially his names and his attributes, if they can logically understand it, they will accept it. If they cannot logically understand it, then they cannot accept it. So if it disagrees with their aql, they'll reject it, and then they try to make ta'wil. They try to interpret the ayah to mean something else. Like some of them, for example, when the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam told us that one of the signs of Yawm al-Qiyamah is the sun rising from the west and setting towards the east. Some of them said, how can this be possible? How can the sun possibly rise from the west? What this must mean is that the light of guidance and the light of Islam will come from the west. And they say that look how Islam is now being spread everywhere. This is one of the signs of Yawm al-Qiyamah. And in reality, this is a deficiency in al-Imanu bil-Ghayb. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala told us that the sun will rise from the west and set in the east. And if we have iman in Allah, who is also al-Ghayb, then why can we not have iman that the sun will rise from the west? And others, for example, who said that the Dajjal, it isn't a real person, rather it's a system. And all of these ta'wilat, all of these interpretations that they made. So we have al-imanu bil-ghayb, as Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala ordered us to have al-iman. And this is the iman, الَّذِي يُمَيِّزُ بِهِ الْمُسْلِمِ مِنَ الْكَافِرِ. This is the type of iman by which a Muslim can be differentiated from a kafir. فَالْمُؤْمِنُ يُؤْمِنُ بِكُلِّ مَا أَخْبَرَ اللَّهُ بِهِ. So the believer, the person of iman, he has iman in everything which Allah has informed. أَوْ أَخْبَرَ بِهِ رَسُولُهُ. Or everything which the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wasallam has affirmed. شَاهَدَهُ أَمْ لَمْ يُشَاهِدْهُ. Whether he saw it or he did not see it. The main thing is Allah and his Messenger have told us. وَسِوَاءٌ فَهِمَهُ وَعَقِلَهُ أَوْ لَمْ يَفْهَمُ. And regardless of whether he understood it or he did not understand it. So if Allah has told us in the Quran that the sun will rise from the west and set in the east, we don't say, how can this be? We don't question it. Rather, we say that the people of taqwa, they are الَّذِينَ يُؤْمِنُونَ بِالْغَيْبِ. And Allah told us, and we affirm it. When Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala told us that He rose above the arsh, He rose above the throne, we don't question, how did He rise above the throne? Or if he's above the throne, then logically it must mean X, Y, Z. Rather, we say if Allah affirmed that he is above the throne, above the arsh, then we have iman that he is above the throne. Why? Because it is a ghaib. It is knowledge of the unseen. And he said, بِخِلَافِ الزَّنَادِقَ الْمُكَذِّبِينَ. And this is in opposition to the people of Zandaqa, because لِأَنَّ عُقُولَهُمْ الْقَاصِرَةِ لَمْ تَهْتَدِي إِلَيْهَا. These people, like the atheists, like those people who only believe in materialism, because their intellects are so deficient, they say that we will only have belief in that which we can see. Whereas the Muslims, we know that revelation, it surpasses the deficiency or the weakness of a person's aql. Like, for example, if you're now going to say that you only believe in that which you can see, you only believe in that which you can see. When you're looking at the sky, for example, and you see an aeroplane flying over you, that logic, it necessitates that as long as you can see the aeroplane flying over you, you believe it is there. But as soon as it is left and you cannot see it, because you cannot sense it, you must believe that it's not there anymore. So if you can believe that this aeroplane, we still affirm it exists, even though we can't see it. Why? Why do you affirm this? Because our sight is limited. This is the reason why we don't affirm it. Then also your aql is also limited. Your intellect is also limited. So just as you can believe that that aeroplane is still flying, even though you can't see it, because you're believing that your sight is limited to a particular distance, then we also believe in all of the ghaib, even though you cannot understand it. Why? Because your aql is also limited. And this ghaib that Allah tells us about, it includes al-ghuyub al-madhiya, everything which Allah has told us about in the past. All of the stories which Allah told us about Nuh alayhi salam, Hud alayhi salam, Musa alayhi salam, and all of the signs which came and how the people were destroyed. Even though we don't discover it physically, we have to believe in it. Wal-ghuyub al-mustaqbila. And also every information that Allah gave us regarding the future, all of the signs of the hour and everything which will happen in the grave and everything which will happen Yawm al-Akhirah, all of this we have to believe in it. And also Ahwal al-Akhirah, the matters of the Akhirah, and also Haqa'iq awsafillahi wa kayfiyyatiha, and also the reality of the attributes of Allah and how these attributes are. So if Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala told us that he has two hands, we affirm that Allah has two hands. We don't say how these hands are. We don't compare the hands of Allah to the hands of the creation, but we affirm Allah has two hands, and this is ilmul ghaib. And our aql might not understand it. If Allah affirms, like for example, in Sahih Bukhari, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam told us, يَنْزِلُ رَبُّنَا كُلَّ لَيْلَةٍ إِذَا بَقِيَ ثُلُثُ الْأَخِيرِ, that our Lord, he descends to the lowest heaven every single night in the last third of the night. We have to affirm that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, in actuality and in reality, he descends to the lowest heaven. Why? Because the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam informed us. And we don't say that this is the mercy of Allah descending, or this is the blessing of Allah descending. Because if this was the meaning, the Prophet would have simply said, Rahmatullah tanzil, that the mercy of Allah descends. But he didn't say this. He said Allah descends to the lowest heaven when the last third of the night remains. So everything, haqa'iq awsafillah, every attribute and description of Allah which Allah has informed us about, or the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam has informed us about, if you want to be from the people of at-taqwa, you have to have iman in it. And it's not allowed for a person to make ta'wil or interpret these ayat and these attributes of Allah. Then the second thing which Allah mentioned, after mentioning the aqidah of al-imanu bil-ghayb, he mentioned some righteous actions. He said, يُقِيمُونَ الصَّلَةِ وَيُقِيمُونَ الصَّلَةِ وَلَمْ يَقُلْ يَفْعَلُونَ الصَّلَةِ. And Allah did not say, يَفْعَلُونَ الصَّلَةِ. The meaning of يَفْعَلُونَ is to do and to perform. And notice that when Allah talks about the salah, He never says يفعلون الصلاة, that they do the prayer or they perform the prayer. He says يقيمون الصلاة. And the meaning of يقيمون is they establish the prayers. So there's a difference between يفعلون ويقيمون. يفعلون is merely doing something. As for يقيمون, it is establishing something and doing it properly. I'm doing it with ikhlas and doing it how the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam used to perform it. He says that Allah did not say يَأْتُونَ بِالصَّلَاةِ, that they come with the prayer. لِأَنَّهُ لَا يَكْفِي فِيهَا مُجَرَّدْ الْإِتْيَانِ بِصُورَتِهَا الظَّاهِرَةِ. Because when it comes to the salah, it isn't enough that a person merely performs the apparent actions. So when it comes to the salah, it isn't enough that you just stand there and you put your hands on your chest and you put make the ruku and you make the sujood and you make the taslim. Because the salah is something which is greater than this. He said, فَإِقَامَةُ الصَّلَاةِ. So the meaning of يُقِيمُونَ الصَّلَاةِ, إِقَامَةُ الصَّلَاةِ is إِقَامَتُهَا ظَاهِرًا, is establishing it physically. بِإِتْمَامِ أَرْكَانِهَا وَوَاجِبَاتِهَا وَشُرُوطِهَا, fulfilling the pillars of the prayer and the wajibat of the prayer and the conditions of the prayer, and also وَإِقَامَتُهَا بَاطِنَا, and also establishing the prayer here inside the heart. بِإِقَامَةِ رُوحِهَا, and that is by establishing the prayer in its correct way, in the correct spirit that the prayer should be established. وَهُوَ حُضُورُ الْقَلْبِ فِيهَا, and it is by the heart being attentive when you are praying. So the salah, we weren't ordered with fi'l salah or ityanu salah to bring the prayer or just to perform the prayer physically. Rather, we were ordered with iqamatu salah, establishing the prayer. And this iqamatu salah, it covers the physical actions, the arkan and the wajibat and the shurut, and it also covers the heart. That when you are praying, your body is there and also your heart is there and concentrating. وَالتَّدَبُّرْ مَا يَقُولُهُ, and also contemplating on what you are saying throughout the prayer. So when you recite Surah Al-Fatiha, you don't just recite it, but you ponder over what you are saying. For this reason, the Prophet ﷺ, when he used to recite in the prayer, after every ayah, there was a sakta. There was a small silence. Even in the loud prayers, when the imam recites the loud prayers, after every ayah, there should be a small sakta or a small period of silence for you and for the people to contemplate the meaning of what you're saying. And that is iqamatu salah. That is establishing the salah. After that, he said, الَّذِينَ يُؤْمِنُونَ بِالْغَيْبِ وَيُقِيمُونَ الصَّلَاةِ وَمِمَّا رَزَقْنَاهُمْ يُنْفِقُونَ وَمِمَّا رَزَقْنَاهُمْ يُنْفِقُونَ. Allah says, and from some of the provisions which we have given them, they make nafaqa, they spend. From some of the provisions, not all of the provisions, but from some of your rizq, you give and you spend. And this nafaqa, this spending, يَدْخُلُ فِيهِ النَّفَقَاتُ الْوَاجِبَةِ, this includes the obligatory spending like الزَّكَاةِ, and like spending upon your family, الزَّوْجَ وَالْأَقَارِبِ, like spending upon your family, spending upon your relatives, all of this is wajiba. And it also covers النَّفَقَ الْمُسْتَحِبَّةِ, the recommended voluntary spending. And that is جَمِيعُ طُرُقِ الْخَيْرِ, all of the paths of goodness. وَلَمْ يَذْكُرْ الْمُنْفَقْ عَلَيْهِ لِكَثْرَةِ أَسْبَابِهِ وَتَنَوُّعْ أَهْلِهِ. And Allah did not mention in this ayah who you should spend on. So Allah did not say, وَمِمَّا رَزَقْنَاهُمْ يُنْفِقُونَ عَلَى الْوَالِدَيْنِ. Allah did not say that from the provisions we have given them, they spend on their parents. And He did not say, يُنْفِقُونَ عَلَى الْأَقَارِبِ, upon the relatives, or عَلَى الْفُقَرَى, upon the poor. Rather, He kept it general. He said, and from that which we have given them, they spend. And this shows us that the paths and the avenues of goodness upon which we can spend are many. And for this reason, Allah kept it general. He did not specify to parents or to poor people or to jihad fi sabilillah or to anything. And notice in this ayah, Allah said, وَمِمَّا رَزَقْنَاهُمْ يُنْفِقُونَ, that from some of their provisions they give in charity or they spend. This is to teach us that the only thing which is requested from you when it comes to charity isn't all of your wealth, just a certain amount of your wealth, a small part of your wealth. That this rizq which Allah has given us, all of it is for you. Spend it however you want. But some of it, give for charity, according to what is easy for a person. And of course, the higher the iman of a person, the more he gives in the way of Allah. And the meaning of min here is at-tab'id. Min lit-tab'id. In Arabic, they say, ba'du shay, i.e. some of something. So there is kullu shay, and there is ba'du shay. There is all of something, or there is a part of something. And in this ayah, Allah said, وَمِمَّا رَزَقْنَاهُمْ, that from a part of what we have given them, they give in charity. It's not necessary that you have to give all of it. And Allah says, رَزَقْنَاهُمْ, that we have given them, in order to teach the people, أَنَّ هَذِهِ الْأَمْوَالَ الَّتِي بَيْنَ أَيْدِيكُمْ, that this wealth, these provisions, this sustenance which is in your hands, which you own, ليست حاصلة بقوتكم وملككم, it hasn't come to you because of your strength and your skills and your abilities. إنما هي رزق الله, rather it is provisions from Allah. It is provisions from Allah. أنعم به عليكم, which Allah has blessed you with. فما أنعم عليكم, so whatever Allah has blessed you with, وَفَضَّلَكُمْ عَلَىٰ كَثِيرٍ مِّنْ عِبَادِهِ, and how Allah has made you better than many of the other people. If you consider, for example, even the society and the environment that we live in complete security, walhamdulillah. We go back and we will eat food, what we want. Any food that we wanted, we can go and buy it. When we go back, we sleep under a roof which is safe. We don't hear bombs going off. We don't hear explosions going off. Our family members haven't been killed. All of this is the virtue which Allah has given us over many other people and many other nations. Just look at the Muslim Ummah within itself. That many, if not the majority of the Muslim countries are now living in a state of insecurity. The majority of the Muslim countries now, there's insecurity and instability in those countries. And yet Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has blessed us and given us the virtue of making us safe and secure, and giving us wealth and giving us health and so on and so forth. So all of these ni'am, all of these blessings and this fadl, this virtue, fashkuruhu, then show shukr to Allah, show gratitude to Allah. How do you show shukr to Allah? This ayah, Allah says, وَمِمَّا رَزَقْنَهُمْ يُنْفِقُونَ, that the people of taqwa, they show shukr to Allah for the rizq which He has given them, and for the ni'mah which He has given them, and for the fadl, the virtue which He has given them, by yunfiqun, by giving some of it in charity. And the author, he mentions a benefit. He said that in many ayat in the Quran, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He always combines between iqama salah wa ita'i zakah. Always in the Quran, and also in the hadith of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, we find that iqamu salah is mentioned along with ita'u zakah, establishing the prayer and giving a zakat. Why is this? لِأَنَّ الصَّلَاةَ مُتَضَمِّنَةٌ لِلْإِخْلَاصِ لِلْمَعْبُودِ, because the salah, it is sincerity for the one who you are worshipping, i.e. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. وَالزَّكَاةِ وَالنَّفَقَةِ, and as for zakat and spending, مُتَضَمِّنَةٌ لِلْإِحْسَانِ عَلَىٰ عَبِيدِهِ, then this contains you showing goodness to the rest of creation. So عنوان السعادة, so complete happiness and complete success is in a person, إِخْلَاصُهُ لِلْمَعْبُودِ وَسَعْيُهُ فِي نَفْعِ الْخَلْقِ, is a person being sincere to his creator in worship, and a person also being sincere to the people in helping them. And for this reason, look, when we said hudal lil muttaqin, it is a guidance for everything. It covers our dunya and it covers our akhirah. It explains to us the rights of our creator. It also explains to us the rights of the rest of creation. Haqqul khaliq wa haqqul makhluq. This Quran, it brings the rectification of your akhirah. It also brings the rectification of your dunya. So when Allah mentions iqamu salah wa ita'u zakah, you should remember and ponder that I have to fulfill the right of Allah, as-salah, and I have to fulfill the right of the rest of the creation, which is az-zakah. For this reason, Allah always mentions iqamu salah wa ita'u zakah together. And this also shows us that Islam, it attaches importance to rectifying your akhirah and also rectifying your dunya. And for this reason, there is no such thing as being a monk in Islam. Like the Christians have, for example, that they have a monastery in which a monk will live and he devotes all of his time to Allah or to God, and he won't marry and he won't have a career. Islam is not like this. Remember the hadith of those three people who came to the house of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. One of those three people said, سَأَقُومُ اللَّيْلُ وَلَا أَنَامُ, that I am going to spend all of the night in the prayer and I'm not going to go to sleep. Another one said, سَأَصُومُ وَلَا أَفْطَرُ, that I am going to fast every single day and I'm never going to have a day in which I'm not fasting. And the third one said, وَلَا أَتَزَوَّجِ النِّسَاءِ, I'm never going to marry women. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he rebuked them. He said, أَقُومُ اللَّيْلُ وَأَنَامُ, that some of the night I sleep and some of the night I pray. وَأَصُومُ وَأَفْطِرُ, and some of the days I fast and some of the days I don't fast. وَأَتَزَوَّجِ النِّسَاءِ, and also I marry women. فَمَنْ رَغِيبَ عَنْ سُنَّتِي فَلَيْسَ مِنِّي, so whoever exceeds my sunnah is not from me. So there's no such thing as being a monk in al-Islam. Rather, as Muslims, we have to strive for the akhirah and we also strive for the dunya. For this reason, Allah said, وَمِمَّا رَزَقْنَاهُمْ يُنْفِقُونَ, that some of their rizq, they give in charity for the akhirah. But as for the other rizq, they have to live their dunya by. So it isn't requested from us that we have to give all of our rizq towards the akhirah. Also, who are the people of at-taqwa? وَالَّذِينَ يُؤْمِنُونَ بِمَا أُنزِلَ إِلَيْكَ, they are those people who have iman in that which has been revealed to you. What was revealed to the Prophet? What was it? And the sunnah. The Qur'an and the sunnah. Al-wahyu wahyan. The revelation is two revelations. The revelation of the Qur'an and also the revelation of the sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam. So when Allah said, وَالَّذِينَ يُؤْمِنُونَ بِمَا أُنزِلَ إِلَيْكَ, they have iman in that which was revealed to you, i.e. they have iman in the Qur'an, they also have iman in the sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam. قال, and because Allah said in the Qur'an, وَأَنزَلَ اللَّهُ عَلَيْكَ الْكِتَابَ وَالْحِكْمَةِ, Allah said in an ayah, Allah has revealed to you al-kitab, the book, the Qur'an, وَالْحِكْمَةِ, and wisdom. What is the wisdom? This is the sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam. فَالْمُتَّقُونَ يُؤْمِنُونَ بِجَمِيعِ مَا جَاءَ بِهِ الرَّسُولِ, so therefore the people of at-taqwa, they believe in everything which the messenger came with. وَلَا يُفَرِّقُونَ بَيْنَ بَعْضِ مَا أُنزِلَ إِلَيْهِ, and they do not differentiate between some of what was revealed to him. So the people of taqwa don't say that we will accept the Qur'an, but we're not going to accept the hadith, like the Qur'aniyun or like the Pravezis. They are not people of at-taqwa. Then after this, also the people of taqwa are وَبِالْآخِرَةِ هُمْ يُقِنُونَ, they are those people who have yuqinun, have yaqeen regarding the akhirah. They have no doubt regarding the akhirah. Those people who are described with doubt are the munafiqun. When Allah mentions the munafiqun, He mentions the raib, He mentions doubt. As for the believers, He mentions yaqeen, yuqinun. They have absolute yaqeen in the akhirah. What is the akhirah? Ismun lima yakunu ba'd al-maut. That akhirah is a word for everything which occurs after death. So akhirah isn't only yawm al-qiyamah, but everything which will occur after death, this is akhirah. For this reason, When the death of a person comes, his akhirah has come. And the ulama mentioned that as-sa'a sa'atan, that the hour is actually 2 hours. There is as-sa'atu sughra, there is the minor hour, and this is the death. And then there is sa'atul kubra, the major hour, which is yawm al-qiyamah. And there are three main abodes. There is dar al-dunya, there is the abode of this dunya. Then there is dar al-barzakh, then there is the dar, the abode of the barzakh. And the barzakh is the abode between death and between the establishing of the hour. And then there is darul akhirah. And then there is the abode of the hereafter. So having iman in everything regarding the akhirah, regarding the soul being taken, regarding the two angels coming and sitting a person up in the grave, regarding the questioning of the great man rabbuk wa ma dinuk wa man nabiyuk, regarding the life of the barzakh and na'imul qabr, the delight of the grave and the punishment of the grave, and then believing Dajjal and the Mahdi and Ya'juj wa Ma'juj and the sun rising from the west and all of the other signs of the hour, all of this comes under wabil akhirati hum yuqinun. That regarding the hereafter, they have complete al-yaqeen. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala here, He specified wabil akhirati hum yuqinun. He specified having iman in the akhirah. Why? لأنه أعظم باعث على الرغبة والرهبة والعمل. Because if a person has yaqeen in the akhirah, then this is the greatest thing which will cause you to love Allah, the greatest thing which will cause you to fear Allah, and the greatest thing which will cause you to do righteous actions. Why? Because of your yaqeen in the akhirah. And then Allah finally says, أُولَٰئِكَ عَلَىٰ هُدًى مِّن رَبِّهِمْ. That those people, i.e. the people of taqwa, who we have just described to you, we have described their aqidah to you, we have described their actions to you, we have described their hidden actions to you, those people, الْمَوْصُوفُونَ بِتِلْكِ الصِّفَاتِ الْحَمِيدَةِ, those people who have been described with these righteous descriptions which Allah gave us, الَّذِينَ يُؤْمِنُونَ بِالْغَيْبَ وَيُقِيمُونَ الصَّلَاةِ, all of these descriptions, who are they? عَلَىٰ هُدًى مِّن رَبِّهِمْ. They are upon guidance from their Lord. And the author mentions a very beautiful point. He mentions that, notice, whenever Allah speaks about hidayah, guidance, He says, عَلَىٰ هُدًى. He says, upon guidance. And ala, this word ala, to feed al-isti'la, it gives us the benefit of something being high and elevated. And when Allah speaks about dalala, misguidance, He says fi dalalin. He said they are in misguidance. So when Allah describes guidance, it is something which is elevated. And when Allah describes misguidance, dalal, He says fi dalal, in misguidance, down in misguidance. And this shows us that guidance is musta'la, it is high and elevated, and as for dalala, it is low and it is subjugated. He says, وَأَتَى بِعَلَى فِي هَذَا الْمَوْضِعَ الدَّالَّةُ عَلَى الْإِسْتِعْلَى. That Allah mentions, عَلَى هُدًى مِّن رَبِّهِمْ. They are upon guidance from their Lord, showing us how guidance is high. وَفِي الضَّلَالَ, and as for misguidance, Yati bifi. He always comes with the word fi, i.e. in guidance. Look, Allah says in one ayah, Wa inna o iyyakum la ala huda o fi dalal. That we, either we or you, are either upon guidance or in misguidance. Guidance is high and misguidance is low. Li anna sahib al huda musta'lin bil huda. Because a person of guidance is raised because of the guidance which Allah guided him to. وَصَاحِبُ الضَّلَالِ, and as for the person of misguidance, مُنْغَمِسٌ فِيهِ مُحْتَقَرٌ, then he is drowning in his misguidance, belittled and humiliated by his misguidance. Then Allah says, وَأُولَٰئِكَ هُمُ الْمُفْلِحُونَ, they are the people of al-falah. And what is al-falah? Al-fawz. It is success. It is success of this life and success of the hereafter. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to make us from the people of at-taqwa. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to give us success in this life and in the hereafter. Wallahu ta'ala a'lam wa sallallahu ala nabiyyina wa sallam. If there's any questions that you haven't understood or something which is unclear, tafadhal.